Good, we're so glad to have you here. I'm so excited to be able to have Garfield Bowen up here. Garfield is both our church chairman and our church chairman of the leadership board. Back in July, he was voted onto that position, and so he's been leading the church through that leadership board and with myself as the lead pastor and executive pastor and staff. So we're excited to have you up here and just to kind of do an update for people. And what we're wanting to update you in is this survey that you took back in the spring of 2024, right? Just not too long ago. Let me just wind it back a little bit further. Back in 2020, we, as a leadership board back at that point, invited Nancy Moore to come in. And so the consultants had worked with us on a couple different things. One of the projects was a survey to find out where we were at as a congregation. And it was kind of exciting in many ways. But if you were to look at a kind of quadrant, we were up near the transformation. We were right in the, if there's like an X there, right there in the kind of, in that crux of going in transformation. And she said you could either move forward or move backwards. And over the next number of years, we had set some direction and priorities. We talked about reaching the community with the gospel, talked about embracing and engaging the next generation, and then also doing it together. And one of the things we've seen is we have work to do on that first one with regard to the gospel and the community, although God's already done some things that are exciting and emerging. But we have done, I think, fairly well in engaging and embracing that next emerging generation as we see what's happening in young adults, in our kids' ministries. We're so grateful for how God is doing that. We had 21 kids in nursery last week, and they were just like, where do you put them? Where do they go? So God's been really doing great things there in our unity. God has blessed us with a time of unity. So we're grateful for that. So we had her come in 2024, and what we found is that we actually moved up. If you're looking at that quadrant of transformation, she said you were at a place where you need to take your next big step of faith. She said your people and what God is doing and the momentum is, you're in a place to kind of move forward with that. And she said if you don't, you'll move down towards status quo. You know, you kind of become comfortable, and that comfortableness creates complacency, and you start dropping down. And so we began to pray about what should we do. And our thing we decided to do is the same thing we did back in 2020. And that was, let's pause and let's pray. And some think people were thinking, let's do about a month of prayer. No, we thought in our heads, in our hearts, let's begin this time of praying. And in August, we had what we called a day of prayer and a night of possibilities. And we decided from about August, the first part of August, through about this point, the end of October, we would just ask people to pray and send in what God was sharing on their hearts. We've collected those. We've collected survey results. And we met then as a staff to kind of work through that and work through what God was calling us to do, which led us to the leadership board.
Yeah, let me just tell you something. I am just amazed by how God is working in our body. And I'm grateful for all of you that are part of the work that God's doing here. The Holy Spirit is real. It's been 13 years that my family and I have been worshiping here. And I've seen the Holy Spirit move in this place in ways that I never thought I would. So I give God the glory for that. Amen, church?
Yes, amen.
You know, We had a leadership board retreat, and thanks to Luke, that really helped us cast a vision, this process of casting a vision for the church, and we're not rushing the process. We've taken in the survey input, we read through all of the comments that you shared with us as you were listening and sharing that with the church. We went through that, the staff went through their retreat, and then we really took some time to process through what's next for this church. What does the Lord have us do? And we're still in that process of listening, of praying, of connecting, of seeing the images that he's placing on our hearts about where he takes us. And so January, let me see if I get my dates right here, February 9th, mark it in your calendars, February 9th, when we have our mid-year congregational meeting, we're hoping at that time we'll be able to share with you with a little more precision what's the vision, what are the priorities, and how can you be part of taking Westgate to the next level for his kingdom.
So I was going to say, one way to remember February 9th is it's Super Bowl Sunday. And people go, why in the world do you do this on Super Bowl Sunday? Because we know everyone will probably be home. And we just do a meeting right after our service, since the game is until later. But that's what our hope is to kind of come and so we're going to do the hard work of now not just listening, but beginning to say, God, help us shape what it is as we've heard from you and God has spoken to you and to us about what are some of those either priorities or initiatives or what God was going to be calling us to do over the next 2+ years or so. So that's where we're at. People said, what has happened with all that? That's what's gone on with all that. So
that's where we're at, church. Let's give him a praise again.
Yeah,
amen. He's awesome.
I will just say that we have I've been able and privileged to work with a lot of great leaders in this church and have been thankful for that. And right now, serving with a leadership board whom you should be just proud of. They are people, men and women, who come from different walks of life, spheres of life, generationally. And one of the things that we do is we take once a month. We decided we would do what we call it's a hesed, which means loving kindness. It means a time where we just listen to each other and listen to God and pray for you and pray for the things that God is doing here. I've been a part of a lot of leadership boards. Never have I had that kind of a pace with a board where one is just being in community because we believe we want you to be in community, and if we don't do it, it won't necessarily pass on down. We need to be a part of that. And also then having these kind of business board meetings that we have once a month. And I'm so grateful for the fact that that's happening. I'm grateful to Luke Broder, who is our executive pastor. He has been such an incredible add, has gifted us in so many ways. And so I'm really grateful for that. Well, what I want to do is read right from the beginning this passage of Scripture. And it's a longer passage of Scripture, but it's worth being read as one story. And it's one that's familiar. If you've been a part of the church for some period of time, you may have come across this story. If not, I'm excited for you to hear it. So let's stand if you would. I'm going to read from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. Now pay attention. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which one of us is on the side of the king of Israel? Tell me who the leak is. Who's the traitor? Who's going and telling them what we were talking about in this tent? None of us, my lord, the king said, one of the officers, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. And the report came back. He is in Dothan. And then he sent horses and chariots and strong force there. And they went by night and they surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord. What shall we do? The servant asked. Now, remember, this is not, we had seen when Becca had preached in the book of Naaman around with this general of Naaman of Aram, that Gehazi was the servant. This is a different one. So maybe been promoted to this position recently. What do we do? Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Stop. Can you imagine him? He's looking out and he looks around and there's probably 10 or 12 of them. Prophet Elisha and a bunch of seminary students. They weren't Navy SEALs like I was. Just kidding. I never was a Navy SEAL, so don't get that wrong. I'm just in my heart. Anyway. So, and Elisha prayed. I love this prayer. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now you need to understand, chariots were the latest military model of equipment. I mean, this was high-tech stuff. And they weren't just chariots like he was looking out there. They had fire. So maybe they were like some kind of an airplane. I don't know. Anyway, as the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. And Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I'll lead you to the man you're looking for. Now, I think in a Hebrew culture, they'd be laughing right now. And he led them to Samaria, which was the capital city of northern Israel at that time, where the army of Israel was stationed, okay? So that's what he's just leading them into, you know, like let's say Washington, D.C. And after they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. And then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. And when the king of Israel saw them, he asked, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Now, understand in Hebrew, they don't embolden the type. They don't italicize. They don't have underlining. The way they would emphasize something is by repeating it a couple times. So what you have here is this king who is super excited to be able to finally wipe out his enemy. Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? I mean, do you take prisoners of war and kill them? Remember, we're abiding, he says, by the Geneva Convention Code. Set food and water before them so they may eat and drink and again go back again to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them, their enemy. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away. And they returned to their master. Now catch this line. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. The king said, give them hell. And Elisha says, no, God says, give them grace. Now, what I want you to think about as we go into prayer is one of the keys to this whole passage is his prayer that he would open his servant's eyes. That has been one of the foremost prayers in my life since I came to a place of really walking with Jesus with all my heart. And that is my prayer for you. And if you want to think of it in a different realm, you can be skeptical about it. But if you think about this, this is hard, hit it. I mean, it's hold together, right? But a lot of you have faith in a thing called science. And science tells us something different about this hard object, right? What's it held together by? Come on, you got some science people here, right? There you go, atoms. Which is very porous on a subatomic level, right? And we believe that. God has been trying to have his people, his children, understand since the day they were created, there is more than this physical realm. There's a realm of the spirit. There are angels right here today who have worshiped with us. I pray almost every Sunday, God, would you at the threshold of that door, in those parking lots, would you make sure that any evil spirit, anyone that wants to come, any of them, those beings that want to come would be have to be checked there. They couldn't come in. Because I believe that. Father, we pray, open our eyes. I pray that you would open our hearts. God, we want to be able to see the things you see and not to see some of those things that you see because we know that we can't handle some of those things. But God, for us to be able to bring the kingdom of God in its fullness into this church community, into this community, into the communities through North Minneapolis and St. Paul, you need a people who say, open our eyes. Open our eyes. because we want to trust you that with the eyes of the Spirit in our mind and with the ears of the Spirit, we can hear and live according to the Spirit. And through prayer, win victories in this realm of the Spirit that shows up here on earth in all kinds of ways as we give people grace. As you, through that grace, bring healing to relationships, and you, through that grace, bring healing to families, and you, through that grace, bring healing to hearts. We want to feast because you called us who were once enemies, and you gave us grace to give that grace to others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's the message. You're dismissed. I didn't mean to get going that much. I didn't know how to approach this message in this passage of Scripture because it was one of the foundational passages in my life, in my journey to really try to understand the whole thing about the Spirit. I wasn't raised in a church where the Spirit was something we talk much about. In fact, I grew up in an age where a lot of the people were really afraid of the Spirit because the Spirit kind of people did really crazy things, and they did. They did some crazy things. And they were all emotional, and they rocked and rolled and all this other stuff. But we were the people. We were the people of the book. We believed in the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. And if you let the Spirit get in, you could have problems. Now, I mean that a little bit facetiously, but that is kind of what I was raised with. But for some reason, God created me and gave me an identity. We remember when Jamie Winstead came, and some of you are working through identity, and we're going to talk about this next year about general and unique identities. I think, you know, I have this general identity of all the things that any son or daughter of the King has. But I also have some unique things, and the unique thing that God created me with was that I am a warrior who fights to create an environment where the Spirit of God has freedom to reign and move among people. And not just a church, but a people who are united around the Spirit. That's who I am. It's like I cannot help do that because who you are is what you'll do. So your identity is critically important to understand, and our prayer is that everyone will really, through this next year, begin to start going, God, what is that? Some of you are doing that. So I got to be careful because I could just keep going off like this and rabbit trails because I just wanted to share with you my spiritual journey in this area around the Spirit. So it's going to be very limited to how God has been working in that way in me. I remember when I was about 5 years of age, my parents, we had moved up here. My dad took the church called Crystal Free Church, which is now New Hope Church. And I was about five, and I was a pastor's kid, and pastor's kids know they can get away with about anything. I don't think I was really a great student in the class that I was in, but I had a teacher who was willing to teach past all my obnoxiousness. But I remember one point, I guess I just remember this. The Spirit, something was moving in my heart because she said, you know, Jesus would love to be your friend. Not just to me, but to the whole class. I just say this to Sunday school teachers who are down there right now. I hope you listen to this. What you do is incredibly important because she said that. I went home and the Spirit was working in my heart all that day. And the next morning, on a Monday morning, I go down to find my mom, Monday mornings, when she was doing the laundry, she'd be in this room down in the basement, and I came down in the basement. And you have to understand, my mom is somewhat like me in the sense that when she's on task, nothing stops her. Right, Grace? Man, nothing stops her. But I came down and I said, Mom, I can't remember if I said the Sunday school teacher said, or I just said to her, you know what, I would like Jesus to be my friend. She stopped. That's a miracle. came down with me and said, well, you can't. And she led me into this prayer where I just said, Jesus, would you be my friend forever? And that was 5 years of age. You know, kids, spiritual maturity and physical maturity, they all go at different rates. And now it was about third grade, same church, New Hope Church. There was a VBS program. And I want to say, VBS people, this next June, come out. God does miracles through those programs. kids are ripe for hearts to be transformed. And so I'm here. And it was really cool because our church had some of the latest technology. The teacher's teaching, it's all about dare to be a Daniel. And I'm hearing this message. And they had the latest technology. They had a flannel board. It was incredible because they would take things, they'd tell the story, and they'd stick these little things up there. And as kids, you're mesmerized. How does that thing stick up there? This is incredible. But the Spirit of God is at work in my heart. And I just remember, I don't remember coming forward or doing anything. I just remember in my heart, like my little hand raised, saying, I want to be a Daniel. I want to stand as a Daniel. So I grew. I didn't grow a lot in my faith spiritually. I was very much in the church. I didn't necessarily grow even through my high school years. In my high school years, I came to a point where I began to realize I wasn't the person that I wanted to be, and I ended up just opening a passage of scripture in desperation to Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, the things I do, I don't want to do, et cetera, et cetera. And it just, like, I thought, like, I could write that. That's me. And then I went to college, and in college, my freshman year, I'll shorten this. I remember going up one time into this room, brought my Bible, opened it to Philippians, read Philippians 3 about wanting to know Christ, and it was almost for the next 2 months, almost every day, I'd go up there around that time and I'd read that passage over and over and over again. Because the Spirit of God was drawing me into Him. And I remember at college, I would have these questions as I was reading the Bible. Is the book of Acts legit? Should the church see healing? Should we see the acts of God, which is the book of Acts, the acts of the apostles of God through His people today? What would a church and people filled with the Holy Spirit look like? So my first years as a pastor, I had this hunger to see a people on fire for God. I didn't understand a whole lot of things about the Spirit, just thinking somehow the Spirit was important. And I began to ask questions about, what about the gifts of the Spirit? I mean, I recognize and understand these, what I call supernaturally natural gifts, like administration, hospitality, and mercy, and different things like that. They're supernatural, but they seem a little more natural. But what about these, what I call supranatural gifts of healing and like prophetic words or a word of knowledge and these things? Unfamiliar with any of it. And just starting to read, because I like to read, and just trying to understand, I won't go through all the things I was reading, but I was just starting to read. And I just said, are they available today? Okay, this is just an aside. Here's something so cool. God is doing with us as Westgate. One of the things I think is a part of who we are as identity is that we will be one as one people, but we'll draw other people in the Spirit together in unity. So what we're seeing already in North Minneapolis between what's happening with black and white there is amazing. I could tell you more about what they had said. The political ward said, thank God they're going from 36 in Lyndale to Penn and Lyndale and 36th Street because the church can handle it. They can't. That's honest truth. And so anyway, we see that's happening here. We see it generationally. We've always said, God, could we be a multi-generational church? Could we bring young and old together? And then we're beginning to see it between men and women. We're seeing it in marriages. We're seeing it in life. And the other, about 6 months ago, someone came up to me after a service and said, you know, would you meet the priest at St. Bart's? And I said, okay, sure. I met him and I thought, this guy's more evangelical than I am. I'm amazed because it would be the Catholic Church has to appoint who would be the priest at that church in St. Bart's and Wayzata. They appointed a guy who's a charismatic priest. He's brought among him all kinds of people in the Spirit as staff. We met with them a couple weeks ago, three of us as staff with three of their staff. Last Sunday night, we had about 12 or so of our intercessors who pray. And we're praying for healing. Go to one of their services on Sunday night. They had 125 people there, and they were doing a healing prayer service, and people were prayed for and healed there, and we did it with them. So God's doing this stuff. I thought you might be really excited about that, but anyway. Some of you may not. So back to my journey and the importance of 2 Kings. During my first 15 to 20 years of ministry, I kept asking questions like, is it possible to walk in the spiritual realm like Jesus? I had read this passage. Can we live, walk, and hear and be guided by the Spirit of God like Jesus? Can the church today, God's people, be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the works of the Spirit like Peter, Paul, and the early church did? And I studied my Bible, and it was interesting that the people would hear God personally. He would actually speak to them, and I thought, this has got to be something that's possible. And as I was doing my journaling and my time with the Lord, I began to sense. I didn't hear a voice. I would have impressions, or I would write something, and I go, whoa, that wasn't me. That was God. And he began to speak to me. I began to realize he was speaking to others as well. And at some point in my journey, I remember the 2 Kings, and I just remember saying, God, would you open my eyes? Would you open the eyes of people that I serve? Would you open our eyes to see that there are far more with us than against us? I want you to know right now, whatever you're facing, whatever enemy it is, whatever you think has against you, there are, if you could just see right now, there are far more on God's side for you. So you may be discouraged. You may be depressed. You may have to work through what that is. God might work through that. Or he may lift that right now in the name of Jesus and say, you know what? I'm behind you. It doesn't matter what's in front of you. Okay, somebody needed that. So at this journey, I'm praying this, and as I read the Bible, I notice that in early Israel's history, prophets were called seers. So 1 Samuel 9, verses 6 to 11, the context is the first king is being called. The guy, his name is Saul. Saul is told his donkeys had been lost. He tells his father he's going to find him and brings a servant with him. They go to look for them. They can't find him. Finally, the guy goes, hey, listen, Saul, in this town, there's a man of God. He's highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he can tell us what way to take. And Saul's going, no, my dad's getting worried. We probably need to go home. He goes, no, it's just right here. Let's go. And so Saul says, but you know what? I don't even have a gift to give him. I have nothing to give this guy. And the servant says, don't worry, I've got some cash. And he really didn't say that. He said, okay, it doesn't. He says, look, I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God, and so he will tell us what way to take. And then it says in Scripture, formerly in Israel, if someone went to inquire of God, they would say, come, let us go see the seer. Because the prophet of today used to be called a seer. Because there are people who are prophets who at that time would see with their imagination, their eye, into the realm of the spirit. And there are also people who would hear with their ear, with the spiritual ear. Because Jesus would say things like this, if you have ears to hear, what? He wasn't asking, do you have physical ears? He knew they all had physical ears. He's asking, can you hear by the Spirit? What was just said or what you just saw? So, you know, we may go a little longer today, just so you know. So, as they were going up the hill to the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water, and they asked them, is the seer here? Let's go to 2 Samuel 15:27. The king also said to Zadok the priest, aren't you a seer? 2 Samuel 24:11 through 12. Before David got up the next morning, the word of the Lord had come to the prophet, and he said, David, seer? 1 Chronicles 25:1-5. David, together with the commanders of the army, set apart some of the sons of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, for the ministry of prophesying accompanied by harps, lyres, and cymbals. And then in a moment I'll read the list, but I just want you to catch this for a second. We don't just sing songs here. There is something that happens when we enter in with musicians in worship that opens the realm of heaven for God to speak and bring. If you want to have faith for it, it could even be for healings in your life or reconciliation or things that need to be done. This is not just a kind of we can miss the worship time. That's not really important. Let's just come to hear what, you know, the pastor has to say. I'm going to tell you, you may lose on that one. If you're willing to enter into worship, if we become a people that call on God in worship, he will open the realm of heaven. Okay. So anyway, where was I? Okay, the sons of Asaph, the next one, were under supervision, who prophesied under the king's supervision. Jeduthun, this is all in David's time, who prophesied using the harp and thanking and praising God again. They would worship in order to bring the heavens into earth. As for Heman, from his sons, all these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer. So I'm about 6 years into my ministry at a church called Village, not too far west of here, and I decided to pursue another degree beyond my Master's of Divinity, this MDiv degree. I went and entered into Trinity School, a divinity school, for a Doctor of Ministry degree, which is oddly named Demon, D-M-I-N, ministry. Yeah. And my question was these questions, and I had just read a guy, Dallas Willard, had written a book called Hearing God. I'd read his thing on Spirit of the Disciplines. That really spoke to me. Hearing God was more profound for me than any of the other ones at this point, although he's got some incredible ones that, anyway, won't go there. Hearing God, he was just saying, he is a University of Southern California, USC, philosophy professor in phenomenology. And in their prestigious school, and this guy's writing a book, and he's talking about the fact that you can have a conversational relationship with God. And it just so happens I'm in this Doctor of Ministry course, and he's coming to teach. You think I signed up for that? I mean, I was there, and that was transforming. And then I went through that course, and then after that, there's another guy who came along who wrote a book called Spiritual Warfare, Victory Over the Powers of This Dark World. His name was Dr. Timothy Warner, and I just was so grateful for him. He had just come back from the mission field. He had served in Nigeria and Sierra Leone and other cultures, and where he was confronted with the spiritual realm, where he had to deal with supernatural. He confronted evil spirits and all these different things, and I'm just hungry. I'm like a sponge. He went on from there to be president of the Fort Wayne Bible College. And it was during this time that God was bringing me into contact. I think when I said, God opened my eyes, I think he said, okay, I will, but gradually. He started bringing people into my life who spoke words that I didn't, you know, okay. And one person who would write visions, and I thought, man, she could parallel, Stephen King has nothing on her. Honest. And I was praying for her, and yet her heart seemed so sincere and so genuine. And at that time, a guy named Paul Cedar, who is the president of the Free Church, told me about a revival that was happening in Argentina and said, you know, I think you might be a good candidate to go to that. We're going to bring some pastors from different churches, and if you would like to go, that would be really cool. You should see if your church will do it. Well, we didn't have the money to do that, so I didn't think that was ever going to happen. But the people who were leading, his name was Ed Savolso. He was the brother-in-law to a guy named Louis Palau. Some of you have been around in ministry. Louis Palau with Billy Graham. Louis Palau was the evangelist like Billy Graham in Latin America and throughout South America with the Hispanic-speaking people. So his brother-in-law's in Argentina where this revival is happening. When churches open 23 hours a day, closed for 1 hour around 2 to 3 a.m. in order to just clean the church. I'm going, I'd love to go. And this is the truth. Out of the blue, I get an invitation, and so does our associate pastor, this guy, Greg Bergman, who was here yesterday and doing the funeral that we had here. And we're given a gift to go there. And I go into this experience, and there's people being healed, and they're being healed, and they began to realize, you know, if they're going to get healed, we need to make sure doctors sign the fact that he had this tumor, and that they go to that same doctor where he goes, no, he no longer has that tumor, because they wanted to verify it medically. I could go on, but I'm not. So Argentina put me face to face with what God was doing in a realm I grew up reading about but never experiencing. And when we were there in Argentina, there's a lady named Cindy Jacobs, who is a prophetic voice, talked about people who see things in the Spirit and hear the words from the Spirit of God. And she taught, and I'm listening, I'm taking notes. And at one point she said, some of these people, they see and hear things. I sometimes call them kooky prophets. And when she said this, I thought of two people at our church. Not that they're kooks, it just I didn't get it. And so I arrived back home from this conference in Argentina. It was like a Wednesday afternoon, and that night I went to the church, and in that day they had these a thing called a library. You know, where they had books, you could check them out, or people just took them. And I go into the library, and the lady who was writing those letters, who I love, and I hope she, Elaine, oh, she was so important in my life in helping me understand God. It just came out of me. I said, do you see things other people don't see? And she said, oh, Kevin, I've been praying for God to take this away or to confirm it. And I said, don't pray for him to take it away. I think it's of God. I just have no idea what to do about it. And she's in tears and I'm in tears. And then she tells me this. She says, you know, this has been so strong. I was praying for you. She was an intercessor who prayed for me. I think kept me from leaving ministry through her prayers. And she said, Kevin, around July 4th, 5th, 6th, I saw this happening in you. And I'm going, no one, not even Grace knows this. This is like my journals. I felt like this guy. She's reading mail I didn't give her. And she tells me what she's seeing and how she begins to pray for me. She said, I carried you on my hip like a baby for a month and a half. I didn't understand that. Maybe women who carry babies do. But she felt like she could let it go. Now, this was in like October, and she's talking to me about July. And I'm like, you ever have those times where you're just wrecked, you're just blown, you don't know what to do? I go home, and I'm just praying to God, what do I do about this little encounter I had here? I didn't plan on seeing her. I didn't plan on saying that. I didn't plan on listening to all that stuff. And I'm just asking God from my heart, what do I do? And I cried out to the Lord that evening, you have to help me understand. What do I do with this? And so the next morning, I get up to read, to write in my journal. And I have a habit of just reading through Scripture. So I'll just, you know, end at like chapter 6, verse 7, which I'm just done there. And I don't recall what the next passage is, but I start reading this passage of Scripture at verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel, and after conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. And the man of God went and sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. And so the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by God, and time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. And Jesus spoke to my heart at that very moment, and he said, Kevin, like the king, when a word is given to you, it is your responsibility with those other leaders to go check and see, God, what is in this? Is there something for us to know so that we can be on guard? And I began to make that a part of my life, although I had a hard time making it a part of the church because I never had a situation where I felt like people could be in sync and could understand that. But I actually, from that point, began to start meeting with what I call prophetic intercessors, and I would pray with them like once a week. And so I would do that. And in fact, when I was here for the first 7 years of this ministry, which was some of the toughest for me and for other people, it was tough. I met with this group every week. It was my lifeline through pain, because God would speak to my heart about some of the things he was doing, and I was able to hear that and stay with it. This is my experience. And so I begin to understand that. And I come to this theme of this series, which is God goes where he's wanted. And I believe I wanted the Holy Spirit. But it was more than my wanting the Holy Spirit. It was God wanting me. Out of grace in his goodness. With David McIver coming, with some of the prophetic words that had come out of Becca's and Peter's and Luke's mouths over these last few words, I believe we are at a critical juncture where we can just say, God, we want you like you want us. And like was said in that little survey that was taken that Nancy Moore said, they're up here and you are in transformation. And she said, you can decide to continue to go and not just be in transformation, but you could become a transformational community that God could use to impact all kinds of people. Even a Catholic church praying with them for healing. In North Minneapolis, God is already doing it with an international ministry that we never planned on. But God did. And he's brought us to this point where we're saying, God, what are those initiatives? I just ask you, it's not time to stop praying. It's time to pray harder than ever. For us to say, God, what are you going to, you're going to use us and you're going to use you, each and every one of you. You're going to know your identity and we're going to move into this area and we will see God transform this community and this world. I believe it. Amen. And so I do believe that we are at a critical point and we're asking God to make this really clear. So here's three things and I'll make them really quick. Hey, we're better time than I thought. First is God longs to pour out his Holy Spirit if you long for his Spirit to be poured out in your life. One of the passages of scripture that I love in Luke's gospel, and I was working through all this, and it just hit me like, whoa, I didn't expect that. You ever had that when you read the Word of God and now you're reading along, and you go, whoa, that wasn't what I expected to come next. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 8 through 13. Disciples are watching Jesus. They know that he's praying. They know his praying and the work he has with the Spirit in his life is doing something in him to do the ministry that's happening. They're not just going, oh, he's the Son of God. They never believed that. Okay, so don't be thinking they're going, well, here's our deity. He can do whatever he wants. They weren't. They were seeing a life, a human being who was so filled with the Spirit of God, who would find one of the most important things he would do would be in conversational prayer with God so that he could do the things that God wanted him to do on a daily basis because he was looking for the lost, lonely, and broken and saying, open up doors for me to work in their life. And so he goes, Lord, teach us to pray. And as Jesus goes on to this parable, he says, prayer is like a guy who has guests show up and he just knocks on the door, keeps knocking on the door. That's the kind of the life of a person who wants to see God work in their life. And it says, because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. You see how that keeps going? Ask, well, that's good. Seek, that's good. Start knocking. Persist and keep knocking. Don't give up. How badly do you want the will of God in your life? Ask yourself that. How badly do you want the will of God in your family? How badly do we want the will of God in this church? How badly do we want the will of God in this community? How badly do we want the will of God in this nation and in this world? It's time to stop berating people and talking down about people. It's time for us to pray for who. I don't care who's in office. There's a greater God in office, and he can work through us to do what God wants to do. So here's what blew me away. You're probably wondering, well, what did you read that blew you away? Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you? What do you think? The Holy Spirit. I always thought it was just the Holy Bible. I was blown away. You mean we're supposed to live, in a sense, only controlled by the Spirit? That's scary, folks. Who knows what the Spirit might ask you to do? Second thing is God gives us the Holy Spirit so we may experience. Second thing is God gives the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit to for his body to guide, comfort, and care for them. Okay? I'm not going to go into any more of that. That's pretty obvious in this passage of Scripture. Right? Go this place. And he's terrified. Here's the thing that I want you to here, and this is the third, and you guys can come forward because we will close with this. God gives us the Holy Spirit. I think he wants us to live in it. I think he wants to guide us. I think he wants to use the gifts of the Spirit. I think he wants us to know our identity in the Spirit, but he gives it to us so that we might experience his grace and we might bring that grace to other people. So I just want to share with you, if you are living in a place and you see yourself as an enemy of God, he is not here. He's not going, kill him, give him hell. He's going, give him grace, but you have to accept it. here's the reality. If you've chosen and said, God, I want this grace, I want to live in this grace, here's the reality. We need to, you and I, need to get serious about giving grace to people. And I'm not just saying share with them the gospel. I'm talking about living in such a way that you get real about the people right now that you might be holding resentment towards, or that you think in a way where you belittle them and you make fun of them and you find yourself in an enemy kind of relationship. It is wrong. God calls you to give people grace. I say this because I need to work on that in my own heart and life. But it's time to forgive. It's time to start laying out a feast in front of people. Because what grace does is it causes the people to go back and say, I'm going to quit fighting them. And if they don't, that's between them and God. How many want to do this? Would you stand? I want you to stand. I want you to hear this message as it's being sung.
Sweet.
Listen if you would. Open your ears for those of you who have ears to hear. For those of you who have eyes and want to see. If you've never asked Jesus to open your eyes or to open your ears, maybe you've never said, Holy Spirit, fill me. I believe the Spirit comes into your heart the moment you believe. So if you've never believed, by believing in faith, in the grace of God, the Spirit enters your heart. But I also believe there's very key moments in our life where we just say, God, I need you. I want you. I long for you. I want to be the most effective for you. I want you to live through me. So Holy Spirit, fill me. Would you just pray that? Just Holy Spirit, fill me. You can say it out loud. I don't care. Holy Spirit, fill us. I don't think anybody really who seeks you wants to play church, wants to just come because it's the right thing to do. We want to come because we want to engage our whole hearts in worship before you. We want to engage our whole being before you and just tell you on a weekly basis this rhythm of coming before you saying we love you, we thank you for the week we've had, we're excited about what you're going to do through us, God, and we want to be a community that welcomes people in and then also goes out and welcomes people everywhere we go. Because nobody's perfect, we know that, but God, through you, anything is possible. You know, as you're praying, if God brings to mind a name or visually a picture of someone who needs that kind of grace, that feast of love in their life, and God might be nudging you to say, yeah, you know, write him a note, call. I don't pray for him. It may be as simple as that. Bless them. You just tell God you're gonna do what you, God, want them to do, what Jesus is asking you to do. We're going to make this something that starts right now, right here. God, we want to be people who give grace. I want to be a person who gives grace. I want to be a person, God, who's not so caught up in what I'm seeing and what I want to get done and what I want to do, God, but I want to be a person who's caught up in what you want to do and what you see, Jesus, through me, so that people would begin to show up in ways that I, God, could touch their hearts for you through your Spirit. God, if that's your prayer, just tell God that. And you may be uncomfortable. This might make you really uncomfortable. It feels like, ooh, we're getting so feeling-oriented. That's okay. That's okay. Just ask God what he wants in this moment for you. You know what? This is all about you and God. This is not about, I don't want anyone to move into fear or panic or anything else. Don't need to get worried because we are people of the Spirit and the book, and we'll always be people of the Spirit and the book, right? So God, thank you. Thank you for meeting with us here today. And I got to tell my story, but everybody here has some kind of story to tell, and we need to start telling those stories. There is power in the stories. This is a silly thing. Do you know that when you tell a story, it creates the same brain waves in the other person? Science has shown us that. That's how powerful your story is. It imprints them in some way. God, let's not be afraid. Let's give us courage and boldness to be people who share not our story out of pride, but our story because we want to help someone, we want to love someone, we want to go and tell it when you tell us to tell it. So here we are, God, here we are. We thank you, and in Jesus' name, I pray this, and I give you all the glory, Jesus, because all the glory goes to you. The Spirit is pointing to you, and Jesus, you are next to the Father, and you, Holy Trinity, are our creator and sustainer and goodness and grace and mercy. You rebuke us, you encourage us, you do everything you can to make us to become all that we can be, and we want to be that in Jesus' name. Amen.